Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner is a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today we talk to our regular guest, John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle, who was at Wrigley Field in Chicago for the Giants series against the Cubs over the weekend. John, it's supposed to be a holiday weekend, but it really hasn't been a holiday for the San Francisco Giants because over the weekend they played four games in Chicago against the best team in baseball, the Cubs, and they didn't do a lot of hitting. On Sunday, they had a blown lead by their closer, which never is any fun. And then you go 13 innings and you lose the game. So all those things combined make for kind of a miserable series. At least they won one game, I guess you could say that. But, John, I mean, what do you think the attitude of the team is right now as they, you know, start to get into crunch time and they've lost games to the Dodgers, now three behind L.A. as we speak?
Well, they might say, hey, it could have been worse. It could have been like last year. You remember they got swept in four games in August of 15 and never really recovered, played less than 500 ball the rest of the way. And it was a turning point for both teams. The Cubs kind of zoomed to the postseason after that and proved to themselves that they could be contenders after sweeping the Giants like they did, the defending champs at the time. So this time they go in, they lose three out of four. They're just not hitting, you know, obviously. They seem to pitch okay. The closing situation is an issue. But you know what? Thank goodness for Coors Field. They need Coors Field. They want Coors Field. It's the perfect time to be at Coors Field for this team.
More with John Shea after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Well, we'll get to the hitting and we'll get to the closer, but let's talk about one positive, at least, that they did win that game on Saturday, and it was a very interesting way to win it because they were able to scratch out a run when Brandon Crawford had some heads-up base running, stole second base, had kind of an ugly slide there, although he said it wasn't as bad as Buster Posey's slide recently, but also getting to third base, just kind of, you know, taking off, noticing that the third baseman is far away from the bag, he could beat him, and then he scores on a wild pitch. I mean, manufacturing a run like that, the Giants are going to need more of that if they're not going to hit.
That was one fascinating game for this team. Like you said, they're not going to beat you with the three-run homer. They're not going to win 10-5. They're not going to upslug you. That game in particular is kind of what defines them this year. Unfortunately, that's not enough to get it done. Small ball really doesn't work over the long course when you're facing tough pitchers and tough lineups. Small ball, you know, might get it done in a short series if you're fortunate. But over the course of 162, it's kind of tough to survive. And, you know, I got to credit Crawford on a couple of things. He did some fancy footwork on the bases. He stole second base, and, you know, it was fortunate. Yeah, he had a Buster Posey-like slide. Maybe not as bad. It wasn't a face plant into the bag.
Right, exactly.
But it was a belly flop. And I think he gave himself an F on that. But to steal a third, you know, the Cubs are all fancy with their shifts and everything. That's fine, but they overlook some things. They don't cover bags the way they ought to be covered, and that inning was a prime example. The shortstop, Baez, was over. I mean, the shortstop was at second base, and the third baseman, Baez, was over at shortstop. Russell was at second base. And so it was an obvious time where Arrieta, who's not a great pickoff artist, as we all know, he was looking in at the sign. The third baseman was flat-footed, playing virtual shortstop. And so Crawford took off and didn't have to slide, no throw. So it kind of rattled Arrieta, and moments later he threw a wild pitch, and Crawford scores, and that's the deciding run. They win by one. All those four games in the series were one-run games. So, in, you know, fast forward to the ninth, and Crawford's playing shortstop, of course, and Rizzo's on first base, and the sacrifice bunt goes down, and Nunez, the third baseman, comes in, charges, throws to first base. That would leave third base open for Rizzo, who rounded second, and now we're talking heads-up play again. Posey kind of came out of nowhere. Rather than staying at the plate, he darted toward third. Rizzo saw him out of the corner of his eye, and then he sort of stopped and was about to make a U-turn, but Crawford, who also was heading to third, but also saw Posey out of the corner of his eye, he retreated back to second base in time, and Joe Panic, the second baseman, who's covering first on the bunt, notices it all and does the perfect thing. He sprints right toward the runner, and once he saw Rizzo freeze, stop, begin to U-turn, he fired to Crawford, who was backdooring him at second base for an easy double play. So, you know, moments later, they get the third out and they win. So it was great heads-up baseball, great fundamental baseball, things you don't usually practice in early September. But the instincts kind of came out of all that and showed that, hey, this is a pretty good defensive team. And remember, they did go 16 straight games without an error, and that's a franchise record. The other day, Brandon Belt dropped that routine pop-up on the mound, and that, you know, that string was broken. But, you know, for a moment there, they were playing some pretty good baseball, but overall, they just didn't hit, and that just killed them at Wrigley.
We'll have more with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea in just a moment, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's along there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, you know, just with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
Now back to the conversation with San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea. Well, the lack of hitting has really become a problem. I mean, you know, at the end of July, I thought, okay, they had their really bad moment there right after the All-Star break. Maybe they'll start hitting in August, and it didn't happen, and just so many guys were slumping, and, you know, you had Panic, and you had Pence kind of feeling their way through it, and then Panic got really hot, and, you know, Pence has been going a little bit, but now everybody seems to be struggling, and I know you run into good pitching when you're playing the Chicago Cubs, but how much of a concern is it for this team, the lack of hitting? Because the lineup, you know, on paper, just it looks like this team should be producing a lot more, but the overall second half of the way this offense has gone has really been miserable, hasn't it?
Yeah, I asked Bochy before Sunday series finale in Chicago. I said, do you kind of think that this road trip with Chicago, with Colorado, with Arizona, that you could really break out starting here in Chicago offensively? And he really kind of said, absolutely not, because of the pitching you're seeing in Chicago. And he made a point that the wind is blowing in. Now, statistically, they keep these things. Numbers scored, runs scored when the wind is blowing out at Wrigley versus when it's blowing in. And it's about a two-run differential overall. You know, games when the wind blows out, it's 9-something. And games when the wind blows in, it's 7-something. I mean, obviously, they were all below 7.
Yeah,
in this Cubs-Giants series. You know, it happened to be that all four of those games, the wind was blowing in. And, but the Cubs didn't hit a home run, right? Pence hit a couple. But usually you see a lot more power out of the Chicago Cubs. But it's I mean, the numbers are just ridiculous. I mean, you might have seen them, what, 3 hits the opener, 3 hits the next game. 4 hits Saturday, another 4 hits Sunday. And they got to 4 only because they played 13 innings. They had 2 hits through 9. And, you know, one of those extra inning hits was an infield single by Posey, who was 0 for 16 at the time. And Belt is hitting right around 200 since the All-Star break. Pence was 0 for 5 with 3 Ks in the Sunday series finale. But, again, he had three of the Giants' first six hits those first 2 days. But, I mean, those are your 3, 4, 5 guys, and the Giants hit 106 in the series. They had 14 hits overall, and it was the first time since 1963 that they played four consecutive games without getting more than four hits in any games. I mean, should I go on? I mean, it's ludicrous. It's hilarious if it weren't true.
We'll have more with John Shea in just a moment. We all know the Giants season has fluctuated between being very hot and, just after the All-Star break, cold. At least they're not boring. So what about your dessert experience lately? Same old, same old? How about trying a unique, refreshing, frozen dessert from Rita's Ice of Hayward? Rita's is sure to please everyone, offering sugar-free, dairy-free, and all-natural treats. Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from, and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless, and this is a cold experience Giants fans can embrace. When you stop by Rita's Ice of Hayward at 26775 Hayward Boulevard, be sure to mention the Sports Virus, and you'll receive 1 free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Ice of Hayward, Italian ice and frozen custard. Well, for a manager and for a fan base, it's always debilitating, I think, when an offense isn't going. It just affects everybody. It just seems like the team has no energy. But what might even be worse is when you finally have a lead and then it's a blown save. And we've seen that too many times this year. And it just seems like every time Santiago Casilla starts to get on a, you know, sort of a roll and you say, okay, he's good. You know, they're fine with him. And Bruce Bochy can trust him. Then he blows one and everybody's talking about it. And Bruce Bochy is pretty much stuck to his guns. But what do you think he does here in the last month of the season? Does he still have the confidence in Casilla, especially because he has so many arms now that he can use? He was matching up throughout the game on Sunday. But at the end of the game, he's got Casilla. Does he make a change?
Well, it's funny you ask that. I asked him point blank. I said, Bruce, your closer has the most blown saves in the league, you know, with 26 games here. Are you committed to supporting him the rest of the way as your closer, standing by him? He didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. He said, well, he's been throwing the ball well. His saves total is up there with other guys around the league. Sure, he's had hiccups, but he's throwing the ball well. And, you know, it's true. I mean, you could look at his numbers, 30 saves. He had a 1.16 ERA on the road. He converted 18 of his previous 20, right? I mean, not awful, I guess. But again, it just seems that in the tighter games, I mean, you give him a 3-run lead, he's fine. You just can't overlook what he did in San Diego. I mean, right after the All-Star break, Posey hits his only home run in the second half. And it's the second game in San Diego after the break, and they go into the ninth. He blows the save, and then he balks in the winning run. I mean, that's the league video on the highlight reel for 2016 if they don't make the playoffs. But it's something that needs to be addressed. The problem is, who else? Hunter Strickland? I mean, he's not ready for this role. Sergio Romo?
No.
He is good against right-handers. Can he finish a complete inning? Will he hold up? Derek Law, he's hurt. There is one guy with about 377 saves on this staff, however.
Possible. All right, Joe Nathan, let's talk about
him. There you go, Joe Nathan.
Well, let's talk about him because, you know, I kind of liken this a little bit in a way to sort of like bringing back George Foster. And the reason I say that, for old Giants fans who remember, George Foster was a San Francisco Giant at the beginning of his career. And, you know, they didn't see much from him. I think he had 13 home runs back in the early 70s. And then the Giants traded him to the Reds for Frank Duffy, not Matt Duffy, but Frank Duffy and a guy named Vern Geishert. I don't remember him. But anyway, they trade him. He becomes a 50 home run guy for the Big Red Machine. And, okay, he didn't come back to the Giants. Well, Joe Nathan, he becomes a great closer in the major leagues after they dumped him. And now they're bringing him back. And it's like, okay, we're bringing this guy back. Can he still close games? I don't know. I mean, he looked pretty good against the Cubs. But does he still have it within him? Would the Giants do that? Would they take a chance on a guy who hasn't been with them all year to close out games to try to get to the postseason?
Yes.
Okay.
And unfortunately, they never brought back George Foster.
No, that would have been good.
He hit 50 home runs. The first National Leaguer since Mays to do that, but he did it in a Reds uniform.
Right, maybe they should have.
He was awesome. Big Red Machine.
Right.
But he was just overlooked in San Francisco. I mean, back then, Giants were giving away outfielders, you know, Matthews and Maddox and all these guys. Bonds, here you go. You know, we'll take 1 year of Bobby Mercer for Barry Bonds. Are you kidding me? So it's that was the theme back then. But now, hey, Joe Nathan looked really good Sunday. And Santiago Casilla looked really bad Sunday. So what do you do? It's an easy say, hey, just put in Nathan. Well, Nathan hasn't really closed for a while. He's coming off his second Tommy John surgery. He's 41. He was, you know, pitched six games with Double A Richmond, you know, all zeros. But then again, look at Sunday. And when you compare those guys, who do you feel more comfortable with? If it doesn't happen in the next couple of days, maybe it's a week, maybe 2 weeks. But I think this team would have a lot more confidence with Joe Nathan. I mean, you saw what he did to Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's probably going to win the MVP this year. And he just wiped him out with five pitches. I mean, he gets ahead with the fastball. He throws a ball. Two more foul balls later. And, you know, every pitch is higher than the next. And he well-placed 92-mile-per-hour fastball. Bryant is completely off balance, waves through it, strike three, inning over. 11-pitch inning. I mean, that's Joe Nathan, you know, from the good old days. But he gets ahead of guys. He's got to be the smartest reliever on the staff, right? I mean, you don't go 20 years pitching in the big leagues without knowing what the heck you're doing. That the shelf life for relievers just isn't that long.
Right.
So this guy's something special. You know, at first I said, well, that's cool. That's good depth. But after Sunday, I'm thinking this over. I said, well, maybe he's going to be the guy. Because can you trust Casilla in October right now?
No. I don't think anybody trusts him. I don't even think Bruce Bochy trusts him right now. And you don't have to go that far back for Nathan to look at success. I mean, he had 35 saves for the Tigers a couple of years ago. His ERA was kind of high. But you go back to 2013, that's not that long ago. And he was an all-star at 43 saves and a 1.39 ERA. So, yeah, I mean, he had to come back from a second Tommy John. But apparently he has good stuff. He's throwing low 90s. And like you said, with the, you know, smart factor, the fact that he's you know, got all that experience, I would think that why not take that chance? Although, you know, it is hard. It's hard to change a closer right in the middle of things. You just wonder, how will that affect everybody? How does it affect Casilla? Because if you have to go back to him, then I don't know mentally how he handles that.
Well, this isn't a Barry Zito, Matt Cain situation where he's struggling, but he's locked up for many more years. Casilla's a free agent after the year. So
right.
It's time to make a decision not based on loyalty. It's time to make a decision based on who's going to be better in the ninth inning. And there's really nobody on the staff that you could look at right now other than the 41-year-old. And Nathan, after the game Sunday, I asked him, I said, hey, could you help this to see a fella? Could you sit down with them? Could you, you know, I'm asking, I'm not encouraging him. I'm asking, is that something you would do? And he said, absolutely. He's been planning to do that. And he said what he would tell him is, hey, learn from your mistakes. You're never going to get better unless you learn from failure. You know, guys who always succeed as a closer, they don't learn as much. But eventually, you know, the more you fail, the more you learn. I mean, you're not supposed to fail all the time, but Nathan failed plenty. Trevor Hoffman, Mariano Rivera, they all failed plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they move on. But, you know, Casilla's at the age where, you know, he's not in his prime. He's not 25 to 28 here. And, you know, he's shown signs that he's not turning it around now. He's not learning enough now. But in the short term, maybe Joe Nathan will be good for Santiago Casilla, which I wrote in Monday's Chronicle. And, you know, just quoting him, and, you know, maybe he needs a guy like that. Because he ducked out without talking to the media after Sunday's blown save.
Okay.
And, you know, that's not cool. Teammates see that. You know, be a stand-up guy. Stay at your locker. Because when other players fail, Corey Guerin, during the series, he waited at his locker, you know, a stand-up guy, to be asked questions about what he did and why he didn't get it done. And that wasn't Casilla. And teammates notice that. Pitching coaches notice that. Managers notice that.
That's John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle in part one of our conversation. We'll have part two coming up on Wednesday. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com and now on canbr.com.